Ethan was suffocated with the sense of well-being. He went out into the passage to hang up his coat and pull off his wet boots. When he came back, Maddie had set the teapot on the table, and the cat was rubbing itself persuasively against her ankles. "Why, Puss, I nearly tripped over you," she cried, the laughter sparkling through her lashes. Again Ethan felt a sudden twinge of jealousy. Could it be his coming that gave her such a kindled face? "Well, Matt, any visitors?" he threw off, stooping down carelessly to examine the fastening of the stove. She nodded and laughed. "Yes, one." And he felt a blackness settling on his brows. "Who was that?" he questioned, raising himself up to slant a glance at her beneath his scowl. Her eyes danced with malice. "Why, Jotham Powell. He came in after he got back and asked for a drop of coffee before he went down home." The blackness lifted, and light flooded Ethan's brain. "That all? Well, I hope you made out to let him have it." And after a pause, he felt it right to add, "I suppose he got Zena over to the flats all right?"
"Oh, yes, in plenty of time."
The name threw a chill between them, and they stood a moment looking sideways at each other before Mattie said with a shy laugh,
"I guess it's about time for supper."
They drew their seats up to the table, and the cat, unbidden, jumped between them into Zena's empty chair.
"Oh, Puss," said Mattie,
and they laughed again. Ethan, a moment earlier, had felt himself on the brink of eloquence, but the mention of Zena had paralyzed him. Mattie seemed to feel the contagion of his embarrassment and sat with downcast lids, sipping her tea while he feigned an insatiable appetite for doughnuts and sweet pickles. At last, after casting about for an effective opening, he took a long gulp of tea, cleared his throat, and said, "Looks as if there'd be more snow." She feigned great interest.
"Is that so? Do you suppose it'll interfere with Zena's getting back?"
She flushed red as the question escaped her and hastily set down the cup she was lifting. Ethan reached over for another helping of pickles. "You never can tell this time of year. It drifts so bad on the flats." The name had benumbed him again, and once more he felt as if Zena were in the room between them.
"Oh, Puss, you're too greedy," Mattie cried.
The cat, unnoticed, had crept up on muffled paws from Zena's seat to the table and was stealthily elongating its body in the direction of the milk jug, which stood between Ethan and Mattie. The two leaned forward at the same moment, and their hands met on the handle of the jug. Mattie's hand was underneath, and Ethan kept his clasped on it a moment longer than was necessary. The cat, profiting by this unusual demonstration, tried to effect an unnoticed retreat, and in doing so, backed into the pickle dish, which fell to the floor with a crash. Mattie, in an instant, had sprung from her chair and was down on her knees by the fragments.
"Oh, Ethan, Ethan, it's all to pieces. What will Zena say?"
But this time his courage was up.
"Well, she'll have to say it to the cat, anyway,"
he rejoined with a laugh, kneeling down at Mattie's side to scrape up the swimming pickles.